I've enjoyed the last 4 weeks or so as we've been reading through Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. And you'll know that we've been tracing through the resurrection appearances of our Lord from the empty tomb on the Sunday morning, where we saw from the despair of the women to the amazement that the tomb was empty. Then we saw with the two on the road to Emmaus, the risen Jesus came to those two disciples, and their disillusionment turned into a burning of a heart as Jesus had opened the scriptures to them. And then later that evening, last week, we saw how when Jesus gathered with them, initially they were startled as they thought he was a ghost, but as Jesus showed them his hands and asked for food to eat and ate the food in front of them, they recognised that he was really and truly alive, not spiritually, but bodily. It's all been in the context of the Lord Jesus gently rebuking them because they seemed to be slow to understand what he had taught them, how he opens the Old Testament to them, and they saw that the Old Testament was really all about the Lord Jesus and how he had come to fulfill the Old Testament. And then last week we saw that he gave them that extraordinary commission that they were to be his witnesses into all the world, beginning from Jerusalem. And they would have to preach about repentance so that men and women, when they repented and put their trust in the living God, they would find the wonderful forgiveness of sins, which is right at the very heart of the Christian gospel. They did obey. They did wait for the 40 days. They had no idea how long it was going to be, but they waited. And once again, our Lord and Saviour did not let them down. True to form, he came. We're told that he presented himself to them. You pick up their sense of the initiative that the Lord Jesus takes to move towards his disciples and help them to understand what the next step was going to be. And then, just a kilometre and a half outside of Jerusalem, this place called Bethany on the Mount of Olives, whilst he's blessing them, and all blessing means is he's giving them a good word, possibly something like, "Lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age." What better word could that be? And for disciples who had to go out into the same world that had crucified him and make him known, whilst he's blessing them, then the Lord Jesus is taken. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried into heaven. And they worshipped him. The Lord Jesus was taken back and they worshipped him. Luke says it again in a slightly different way in the gospel reading, in the Acts of the Apostles. So there we go. And this morning we're going to see what this extraordinary event means. The ascension, as we often affirm when we read together in the Creed, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. 3 points this morning. You can't keep a good man down. A never-ending story, and what goes up must come down. There are 3 points. At least, hopefully, that'll help you to remember what we're going to look at today. You can't keep a good man down. His resurrection appearances over that period of 40 days made it very clear that the grave could not hold him. He doesn't belong to earth. His body doesn't belong to the dust and the ashes of everybody else's body. Even that dear lady, Dorcas, who was raised by the Lord Jesus, she died again, and her bones would still be in Galilee somewhere. But not so the bones of the Lord Jesus. It doesn't belong here, you see. He came from heaven, and he returned to his rightful place. Remember we sang on Easter morning the chorus, "Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose the victor from a dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. The Lord Jesus doesn't belong here. He came here because we needed him. He came here because he needed to do a work that none of us could do in order to get right with God. But he's returned. He goes from where he came. He is honoured. This is a supernatural event that the Gospels record for us, that Jesus went. And friends, I want you never to be ashamed of the supernaturalness of Christianity. It's what marked Christianity out from every other religion. Supernatural. God moving towards us, not us trying somehow to find God, but God moving towards us. And so we have the incarnation, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. We have the resurrection, which was not some good thought that the disciples had later about their friend, the Lord Jesus, but a real resurrection from a tomb, body and all. And now we shouldn't be surprised that Jesus just simply returns into heaven. We are a supernatural religion. And what a blessing that is, for it gives us hope. There is hope for Earth's great graveyard. That's what Earth is, if we're honest. We look around. My dad, you know, this is a dad's joke. This is my dad's joke and my father-in-law's joke. My dad's joke was, there are people dying today who have never died before. And we had to laugh. And then my father-in-law, Christine reports to me, he'd say, we're going past the dead centre of town today as you drive past the cemetery. That's reality, isn't it? But the reality also is that we're an invaded world, invaded not by aliens, but by the one who created us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came for that particular purpose, moving towards us. It's what marks him out as unique, and it's what brings us confidence, is it not? It's what brings us comfort. Because we all have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death sometime, one way or another. And it brings a real conviction that there is hope in an otherwise fairly hopeless world. The Old Testament had looked forward to this exaltation. In Psalm 68 and verse 18, it spoke of one of the kings coming down and winning a battle and taking captives into the train. But of course, the fulfillment is of a heavenly king, the Lord Jesus, who came and makes rebels friends, and we're caught up in his service. Prophecy of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. There's for one like the Son of Man who comes, and he's presented to God on his throne, the Ancient of Days, and he's given all authority. And that's for Lord Jesus. And as I began the service with that prayer of the Lord Jesus, Father, exalt me back to your presence, that presence which I had with you before the world began. So friends, who is Jesus? Well, the disciples, interesting enough, there's no doubt in their mind from this point onwards. What do? They worship him. At the moment of his exaltation, the penny drops. It all comes together for them. No longer do they want him still around, because they remember and know that it's to their advantage that he leaves them and becomes their high priest on high and sends the Holy Spirit, who, unlike the Lord Jesus in his physical presence, could only be with one group of people at a time, but not when the Spirit comes. He's present with every single believer all the time. And as he's going, it says, as he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up to heaven, and they worshipped him. We often think of Pentecost being the time when the penny drops for the disciples, but no, that's when they receive the power to go out and preach. But it's here at the ascension. All the doubts, all the questions that they had of him sometimes coming and sometimes going, of appearing amongst them, all the questions seem to evaporate as he goes back into heaven. Suddenly they realise that he's not an earthly king. He's on about the kingdom of God, and so he returns to God. So that as men and women and boys and girls put their trust in the Lord Jesus, they become members of his kingdom. Yeah, it's going to start in Israel, but it's not going to end in Israel. The great kingdom of God is going to be a kingdom of men and women and boys and girls gathered out of every nation. Yes, believers from Israel, but from every nation and tribe and tongue. And suddenly they catch for glimpse. This Jesus, he really is who he claims to be. He came from God and he's going back to God. And they worship him. And then they wait for the Holy Spirit. They didn't know how long it was going to be. It turned out only to be 10 days. But in the meantime, they kept worshipping at the temple. They were praising God with mega joy, it says. Great joy in their hearts. Friends, are you joyful at what the Lord Jesus has done in coming? One of the problems about going to church, now please don't let me suggest to you any other than you ought to come to church every Sunday at least once. But one of the problems is we become so au fait, can't we, with these truths. But they're not truths that we should ever become au fait with. They are extraordinary truths. That the Lord Jesus came amongst us, humbling himself, that he went to the cross as our sin bearer, that he rose again and he's now ascended. Does that not fill you with great joy? Yeah, you may get up tomorrow morning and have sadness in your heart about half a dozen different things. But let me tell you, none of the sadness or the earthly sadness we have can ever rob us of those truths. And if we're trusting the Lord Jesus of our relationship with the living God. You can't keep a good man down, but that's only part of it. The never-ending story just begins. They would wait. I told that in verse 49 in Acts 1. Verse 6, Jesus' work on earth was now fully complete. Only one who was fully God, only one who was fully man, could identify with sinners like us and go to the cross. Only one who was fully God could atone for our sins when he stood in our place and bore all the righteous wrath of God upon sinners. So that anyone who repents, the wrath of God is no longer upon them, but we're free from that. Only the Lord Jesus could do that. And that's been completed for all time, and so he returns, body and all, to the right hand of God. And there he reigns and rules. There he is our high priest, who will hear our prayers and make it possible for us to enter into God's presence, make it possible for us to call God not our creator, not our designer, not our great architect, but our dear Father in heaven. Have you ever pondered that? How we, with our prayers, can enter into heaven. And the other truth, how the Holy Spirit can come and enter into us when we're not holy. It's all because Jesus is, you see. And he dealt with our sin. And so not only do we have the gift of the Holy Spirit in our hearts when we trust in the Lord Jesus, but we have ready access. And so Jesus is described as our mediator, 1 Timothy 1, our high priest in Hebrews, our advocate before the Father, 1 John 2. But not only that, he is also described as our understanding high priest, because you see, he's taken our humanity back with him. He left with more than what he came with. He took a body when he came in Mary's womb, and then he grew, and he suffered, and he experienced temptations. And so when you pray to God through your great high priest, and you bring before him the burdens that are of your heart, does he understand you? The answer, of course, is yes, he does. Because not only has he been here, but he is there at the Father's throne as your representative, God, the Saviour, and as your representative, man. He understands and knows what's going on. And so he will give us power from on high. This never-ending story continues so that we can be his witnesses. Very easy for us to think the Holy Spirit's work is just to make us feel good and just to comfort us. He will do all of those things, but only in the context as we're his witnesses. He empowers us so that we can take his place on earth and be witnesses in more places than he could have ever gone to in thousands of lifetimes. As men and women's lives are touched and we go, whether it be to other places, some are called to do that, or whether it simply be as we go to our places of work and to our families and to our neighbourhoods. He'll give us power to be his witnesses, not only to take away the fear of speaking for the Lord Jesus amongst people who, by and large, let's be honest, when we do speak about the Lord Jesus, they either yawn politely or they think, where are these people from? And sometimes it's pretty hard to keep doing that, isn't it? But the Holy Spirit will give us his grace to do so. And to help us to live godly lives, let me just give you three illustrations. To live sexually with integrity. We live in a world that's so confused about sexuality. The Holy Spirit will strengthen us to be different, to enjoy sex within the marriage relationship of a man and a woman. The Holy Spirit will change us from being self-centered and fundamentally greedy into generous people, generous disciples. Why is our society so hard? Because we're leaving God out. We're actually being told, are we not, that we ought to buy lottery tickets. We owe it to our community because 43 cents in every dollar goes to charity. All that's doing is making us hard in terms of being generous. We've got to get something back if we're going to give. Come tonight if you want to hear more about that in our discipleship series. And to help us live godly lives by taming our tongues from being gossipers or busybodies into people who encourage one another with our words. His earthly work is done and ours continues. From one perspective, Luke's volume 1, which was about the Lord Jesus' ministry, turns into volume 2, the Acts of the Apostles, which takes us from about the year 33 AD to 65 AD, when the Apostle Paul is languishing in prison in Rome. See how he's gone, the gospel's gone from Jerusalem, just read Acts, to Judea, we read about that this morning, then Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. And thank God that other people have obeyed it, because otherwise you and I wouldn't be here. Somebody spoke the gospel to you. That message, like an extraordinary relay race, has just continued on and on down through the ages, and what a privilege that is. To be written in to volume 3, to have our names written in the book of life, and being called upon to be witnesses to that grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Could there be anything greater than that? For a man or a woman to be caught up in? I don't think so. Witnesses to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit any longer. He's present in the lives of every believer. We just get on with doing what he tells us to do, and we'll soon find his power as we seek to live for the Lord Jesus. Power to obey, power to speak, and power in our own lives, as the hymn puts it, to cheer and to guide. And then what goes up must come down. Volume 3, friends, will end one day, not in a whimper. And if you're ever tempted to think, is it really worthwhile being a Christian? Is it really worthwhile coming to church on Sundays? Is it really worthwhile spending time in prayer? Is it worthwhile giving our dollars to support local churches and wider in Christian missions? Is it worthwhile sticking our heads above the turret at work or in our families and seeking to put in a good word for the Lord Jesus? Too right it is, and you'll know. You'll know it now as you're encouraged. But I tell you what, there'll never be a time when you'll know it. And when the Lord Jesus returns in his glory and he will be vindicated, all the people in this world who have mocked him or knocked him or just politely, as Aussies do, especially my age group, just ignore him. Don't call me, I'll call you. And of course it's too late at the end. He will be vindicated and he will be seen to be who he is. And so will everybody who's invested their life in being a witness to the Lord Jesus, who've invested their life in worshipping the Lord Jesus. Is that worth waiting for? Is that worth encouraging each other for? Will that keep us from trivial pursuits? Will that keep us from wasting our lives? What did Jim Elliot say? Only one life that'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. New mums and dads of little ones, as you bring up your children, which is a mundane task, repetitive, but as you so live in a godly way and impart godly attitudes towards your children and help them to understand the Lord Jesus, that will last. And it will never be in vain. No, dear friends, we're part of volume 3. It will not end in a whimper. The Lord Jesus will return in splendour. He will bring in the new heavens and the new earth, the home of righteousness. And until then, he calls us to turn to him. And I have to say this morning, in case there are not people here who have not turned to him, if we do not turn to the Lord Jesus now in this life, and it matters not whether we've been a big opposer of Jesus or just somebody who's left him out, he will leave us out for eternity. He will honour our choice, in other words. It'll be a terrible eternity to be Christless. So I'd urge you, if you have not honoured the Lord Jesus, to do so today. So friends, there are just 3 responses. They all start with W. The first one is worship Jesus. That's what the disciples did when they saw him go. They worshipped him. It's not good enough to worship God unless you come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Tom, Dick and Harry worship God. Well, they don't really. They acknowledge him. But if Tom, Dick and Harry really want to worship God, then they've got to come through the Lord Jesus. Make sure you're worshipping the Lord Jesus. He is the way, the truth and the life. Secondly, wait for him. Wait for his return. But not as if you're sitting in your oncologist's waiting room or the dentist's waiting room. That's not a pleasant wait, is it? There's uncertainty in that wait. But rather, it's the wait on Sunday lunch and your 2 grandparents and your 2 favourite uncles and aunties are coming for the monthly baked dinner. They always get on, they love you, and they usually bring you some gifts. That's the wait worth waiting for, isn't it? The expectancy, the joy of reunion, the joy of being together. So worship Jesus, wait for the Lord Jesus, and then witness. witness to his grace in coming. Coming to earth shows that there's a gracious God going to the cross to make it possible for you and I to enter into his presence. And then ascending into heaven to ensure that as we live on this earth, we have a marvellously kind high priest who understands us through and through and promises to sustain us each day. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you that you are very kind, and we thank you that with you we fear nothing. We ask that you will help us to so worship you that our witness to the Lord Jesus will become more and more second nature to us. And we ask it in his name. Amen.